I want you to look again this morning, verse 43 of this text, and I especially want you to take note of the last two words. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now I want you to turn with me, as I noted earlier, John chapter 21, the last chapter of John's gospel. And I want you to notice again the same two words 3.5 years later spoken by Christ. John 21 and verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, unto Peter, follow me. So, in the very first chapter of John's gospel, when our Lord begins his ministry, he speaks to his apostles these words, follow me. In the last chapter of John's gospel, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he speaks the same two words again when he says to the apostle Peter, follow me. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning before we pray. How is it possible that 12 obscure men, substituting Judas, how is it that these Galileans from a little slave nation in the Roman Empire, these unlearned men in the world's eyes, how were they able to literally change the history of humanity? How were they able to cover the known world with the gospel message, pen at least 8 of the greatest books in all of world literature, and then live and die as the most selfless, noble, courageous men the world has ever known? How could these men, beginning, by the way, in the middle years of their lives, for many, go on in their life to demonstrate such glory and power and grace as they all did? Well, I'm telling you that the answer to that question is found precisely in those two simple words spoken at the beginning and at the ending of Jesus' ministry when he said to his disciples, follow me. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And from the instant that those men took that first step of obedient following, they were destined for glory. And so it is this morning to every single believer who's here under the sound of my voice, that when the Lord Jesus speaks to you and says to you, follow me, your direction, your destiny, your desires will never again be the same. The watchword for 2017 is follow me. It was the same watchword for 2016, follow me. And 1 year from today, if the Lord Jesus tarries, it will be the same. From beginning to end, always, and every year and every day, it is from our Lord, these words, follow me. Father, help us to understand what they mean. And I pray, dear God, that each and every one of us who knows Christ and names the name of Christ will understand what it truly means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to follow at the beginning of this new year, throughout the year to the end of it, as we've never done before. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, we're living in a society today in which everybody, it seems, wants to be a leader, not a follower. Books on leadership, books and seminars on leadership absolutely abound in the United States of America, whereas books on following, they effectively don't even exist. I took a moment some time ago to look up all of the current top-selling books on the subject of following and fellowship. And you know what I found? I found one title. It's called, here's the title, Turn the Ship Around, How to Turn Followers into Leaders by Stephen Covey. In other words, there are hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of books on leadership everywhere you look. And the only one I could find on following was How to Stop Doing It. Because apparently everybody needs to be a leader. I read some time ago about a young man who was filling out his college application. When he came to a certain question, it gave him pause. It said, very simply, are you a leader? And so he looked at it, he thought about it, he fretted over it, and finally he put down the right answer, the honest answer, and he said, no, I'm not a leader. During his personal interview for admission, the dean looked at the questionnaire and he said, son, I see here, you're not a leader. And the boy answered, is that going to hurt my prospects at the university? And the dean looked up at him and he said, son, you know what? I've been going through these college applications for over 25 years. And right now, At this moment, we have 32,143 leaders in the student body. Seems to me they could all use at least one follower. Amen? But it is true, you know, to call somebody a follower in today's society, she's a follower, that's a pejorative. Sadly, it always carries a negative connotation, and in some instances, maybe justifiably so. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, and when it comes to the spiritual world and finding favor and grace with God, it's not leadership that God demands. It's not power or prestige or position. Instead, it is doing exactly what these disciples themselves did in obedient response to the command of our Lord. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Simple command, two words, "follow me." And with that simple command, he began a work in Peter's heart that did not end until that man was in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, there are a lot of commands in the Bible given by God that I cannot, as your pastor or your friend, guarantee there are for everybody in this room. Genesis 1:21, "Get thee out of thy country and go to another land." That's not for everyone. Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Not for everybody here. Just the Lowe's, amen, and a couple of others. Leviticus 21:5 says, "Thou shalt not make baldness upon thy head." I couldn't obey that command if I wanted to. And I want to. Say, "Pastor, those are Old Testament." Okay. There's a command in the New Testament. Jesus said, "Loose his bandages and let him go." Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 8, "Tell no man what I've done unto you." Is that our command as well? Of course not. There are a lot of commands given throughout the Bible that I cannot promise apply to every single believer in this room, not directly. But when it comes to these two words, not only can I assure you that therefore every believer here, but in addition, beloved, therefore every believer here every single day of 2017. And at the beginning of the day it applies, and at the end of the day it applies. At the beginning of the year it applies, and at the end of the year it applies. It brings us to three things this morning I want us to consider very carefully from the Word of God. What does it tell us when Jesus says to his sheep, "Follow me"? Three things in the text. The first you'll notice, number one, is the meaning of the text. You see the word in verse 22, the word itself is "follow." Now look, beside the fact that this word is a transitive verb, it means to come after. And beside the obvious synonyms to follow, being to go after, to give chase, to accompany, and to pursue, it's significant to note that the Greek word in your text is akalatheo, and that word, that's where we get the word acolyte. That word literally means to attend. In other words, if a leader is walking up a mountain for a lesson, a follower, a true follower, is in attendance. If the leader is in a valley ministering to some needy people, that leader's followers are in attendance. And the reason is that they're attending to both what he is saying and what he is doing. They are hearing and they are assisting. That's a follower. May I say, inasmuch as this was the last command that our Lord gave to Peter on this earth, as you know, according to Matthew 4 and chapter 4, verse 19, it was also the very first command that God gave, that Christ gave to Peter when he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, folks, I want you to think about this. If somebody says to you, "Follow," follow them in the context of this morning's text, and assuming you're willing to follow that person, regardless of the cost, regardless of the circumstances, what does it mean? What would that mean for your very life? Well, it would mean, for one thing, you have a new leader. You have a direction, you have a purpose, you have an example, you have a companion, you have a destiny. To follow means to go behind, not in front. In other words, to follow someone basically means you're taking your life and you're placing it in their hands. In this case, they're putting aside their fishing nets and their publican's table and their business interests and their earthly ties. And for them, henceforth walking in the steps of another. Now again, I'm saying this, in our society, that's a radical notion. We just don't like the idea in the United States of America that a human being is to give up their rights and ambitions, their freedoms to anyone. And I'm on board with that. But here it is. At the beginning and the ending, the Lord Jesus had basically one command for his disciples: follow. And the wonderful and amazing thing is they did exactly that. They left their nets. They left their professions, their ambitions, and in some cases, they left their positions of leadership. And they became followers of Christ. And the question is, would you do that? Suppose President Obama called you on the phone tonight or showed up at your house and knocked on the door. He's got 12 days left. Suppose the Pope or Kanye, and they come to you and they say, hey, follow me. Would you do it? I can tell you right now, I wouldn't. Mr. Trump's old TV show was called The Apprentice, and now it's Mr. Schwarzenegger who said, you're fired. Terminated is probably what he's going to say. I don't know. I don't want to be his apprentice. So, Pastor, would you follow the Pope? In one word, nope. What about the new president? Tell you what, if I was a soldier, he's commander-in-chief, as a soldier, I would follow him in that capacity. And an employee should follow his boss at the office. And a player should follow his coach on the field. But note this carefully. Because you do understand that what Jesus means by follow in the Bible, as we stated earlier, is a completely different issue than a band member following his director or a firefighter following his captain. No, no, no. What the word follow means in this context is comprehensive and it is complete. It means that you follow him as your only leader, your shepherd, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your spirit, and with all your strength. And you follow him all the days of your life. And again, folks, I'm not at all inclined to follow any man, no person on this planet to that degree. But you see, that's what brings us to the second thing in this text. We said, number one, there's the meaning of the text. You get it now, right? Follow. The second thing you notice, number two, there's the man of the text. What's it say? Verse 22, Jesus said, what? Follow thou me. You know, when Jim Jones and David Koresh and L. Ron Hubbard said to multitudes of people, follow me, these were deceitful men who were promoting idolatry. When Adolf Hitler told his officers and cabinet members to follow him in 1939, he was promoting fascism and slavery. When Satan told Jesus in the wilderness to follow him, he was promoting blasphemy. And I don't care who it is, Fidel Castro or Hugo Chavez, Joseph Stalin, Chairman Mao, Hideki Tojo or Idi Amin, it doesn't matter the man or the woman's name. There's not a human being on this earth. There's not a being celestial. There's not a being terrestrial who is worthy of your attendance at every turn. Nobody can say to other sons of Adam, follow me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your spirit and strength, without leading those followers into death and destruction. Oh, Pastor, I'm 17 years old and I found this amazing guy with a motorcycle. I'm going to follow him to the ends of the earth. Really? Is he following Christ? Because if he's not, good luck with that motorcycle and that awesome young man. It's like the old man who died, and after the funeral, the widow's attorney said to him, ma'am, your husband was mean. He was abusive to you for 40 years, and now with all of his money, he's deliberately left you without a will. It would help, ma'am, if you could tell us the last words he ever said to you. She said, I don't want to share that. Attorney said, ma'am, we have confidentiality. I need to know what were his last words. And she said it was personal between two of us. And he insisted because it might help your inheritance. And finally, she said, okay, if you have to know, his last words were, quote, you don't scare me. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with that old gun. Now, you can follow some 17-year-old guy because he's got muscles or whatever. But the important thing is he following Christ? And let me tell you this again. Hitler, Mussolini, King Herod, any man,
that demands this kind of unwavering loyalty and devotion is rightfully looked upon in this world as pompous and profane, as foolish, blasphemous, vain, and insolent. It is satanic to ever claim this kind of authority. So I have a question for you. Why is it then that when Jesus says those same words, why is it when the Lord Jesus Christ demands complete loyalty, that when Christ calls men and women in this very room to follow him completely and unreservedly, not only is it not blasphemy, not only is it not boastful, it's downright glorious and beautiful. Why? You'll notice in the chapter before this, chapter 20, verse 27, "Then saith Jesus to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God." You see, Jesus is God. And when Christ says to you, follow me, that's not just a man talking. By the way, it's not just a good man talking. It's not just a great man talking. It's not just a wise man or a powerful man or a successful man. The man in this command is the God-man. And to follow him, ladies and gentlemen, with all of your mind and strength and soul and heart, it is not blasphemy, it's not futility, it's not vanity, it's not folly. What it really is spirituality and morality and glory for all of eternity. Because you see, to follow him is precisely what you were created to do. There's the man of the text, there's the meaning of the text, and then finally, number three, please don't miss this. There's the miracle of the text. Let me read to you again that text. When Peter heard for the first time the words, follow me. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 19, he says unto Peter, follow me. Here it is. Follow me. And what, Pastor? Follow me, and I will make you. In other words, note this, the Lord Jesus said, follow. And the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And then he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, folks, being a fisherman is not supernatural. Peter was a fisherman with a short temper and a long tongue. There's nothing miraculous about catching fish. But if you're made into something else, if you were made into a fisher of men, this is not a position that is listed on monster.com. This is not a course that you can take in a university. This is a miracle. You know, we noted earlier that there's no human explanation, there's no earthly reason why a dozen obscure and ordinary men could be transformed into transformational saints themselves. Well, there was nothing remarkable. There was nothing in the background or the bank account or the bloodline or the brain power of these men that could ever explain the glorious supernatural nature of these men's lives except for that two-word command which they heard and obeyed. Those words from the heart of our Lord who said, follow me and I will make you. And they followed him, and they followed him to a wedding, and they followed him to a well. And they followed him through a windstorm. And you know, the more they followed, the more they learned. And the more they learned, the more they grew and changed from glory to glory. They followed him up a mountain. And they saw him transfigured. They followed him down into a garden and they saw his burden. They followed him into the temple and they saw his holiness. They followed him to a house and they saw his love. And the more they saw, the more they learned. And the more they learned, the more they were changed. I can tell you right now, if you will be a changed person by the end of this year from who you are right now, and it depends on how much and how well you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and learn of him in the days ahead. Brother Roloff used to sing, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. You see, folks, whenever Christ says, follow me, understand this. He's not admonishing them to follow him to nowhere or just somewhere. Understand that following Christ means that you will always follow. Wherever he goes, ultimately you will follow him into glory. Follow him this year and he will make you, transform you.
All of those multitudes of people who followed Adolf Hitler, he made them.
They were one thing before they started following him. And in a few short years, he made them into murderers and accessories to mass murder and genocide. They followed him and eventually into hell itself. When people follow Muhammad, they're being made into something. You can count on it. Followers of Saul Alinsky, they're made into something. As were the followers and are the followers of Marx and Lenin and Khomeini. When people followed the Pharisees of Jesus' day, remember what Jesus said? He said that they made them, the followers, twofold more the child of hell than they themselves were. They made them into something. Make no mistake, young people in this room, who you follow determines who and what you're made into. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody follows somebody. The Lord Jesus said to an impetuous fisherman, "Follow me." And Christ made him into a saint who followed the Lord Jesus Christ into glory. I remember I was 13 years of age, had only been saved a few months, a new believer. Our youth group was invited to a preaching service, a rally in North Carolina, where Dr. Hyman Appleman was scheduled to speak. I had never heard of Hyman Appleman, obviously, in my young life, but for 1 hour plus, I sat there and marveled as he gave his personal testimony. Born in Russia in 1902 to Orthodox Jewish parents, raised as a strict Jew. When his father came to America and later they followed him, it enabled Hyman Appleman to go to DePaul University, where he graduated top of his class. He became a hugely successful lawyer in Chicago. Later on, he was hired and started working for his father's very successful business. And during that time, he had a nervous breakdown. He tried to find solace in the local synagogue, and it failed. He tried everything that he could, and nothing seemed to work. And finally, he decided, and his family decided, that he needed a long vacation, and so he headed west. One night, while in Kansas, he stayed at the local YMCA. That first night there, he argued with a elderly Christian lady from 4 o'clock p.m. till 10 o'clock p.m. about the gospel. That morning there was a knock on his door and a gentleman left him a Gideon New Testament and simply challenged him to read it. He considered himself an intellect, and so he did from cover to cover, and seeds were planted. Some months later, still depressed, he asked to see a doctor, if they could recommend a doctor. And the secretary, he asked, instead of sending him to the doctor, sent him across the street to Dr. Davis, who was a pastor. They talked for hours and hours. And finally came to the words of our text that Brother Sam read earlier. We have found the Messiah. And he saw the words of the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Follow me." And Hyman Appleman screamed out, "I don't need a doctor. I need Jesus." And he and the pastor fell on their knees and that man accepted Christ. He was disowned by his family. And as many of you know, he went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in the early days of the Southern Baptist Convention. It was an amazing story, listening one incredible turn after another as he told, so much more than I could ever share today. As he told a testimony that night, when I went to hear him in 1971 as a new convert, he introduced to me what was then a new song for me. I'd never heard it before. He's an aged man by then, and after recounting his long testimony with tears running down his face, I remember he sang, "Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling. Come, follow me. And we see with our footprints falling, lead us to thee." And he said, "Young people, this is my favorite stanza." And he sang, "Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne." You see, folks, following the Lord of glory doesn't end in a burned-out compound in Waco, Texas. It doesn't end in an arsenic-laced mass suicide in Guyana. Following Jesus doesn't end with a car bomb in an act of terror. It doesn't end with an underground bunker and utter destruction. It doesn't end in fear or darkness or despair or regret or waste or judgment. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ is to follow the just one, and the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. You follow a man, and it'll make your life a mess. You follow the Lord Jesus, and he will make your life a miracle. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your life to count? Do you want your life to be a miracle? There's only one way that I know of that can ever happen, and that is if you listen to what he says with these two words and you follow him every day, all the days of your life. Our Father in heaven, bless now the invitation. Have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that at the very beginning, the first command Peter ever heard was follow me. The last command that Christ gave him. Though he was still ascending into heaven, he'd be gone. He said follow me because all of the directions and all of the authority would still come from heaven itself. Help us to recognize that all of our directions and all of our authority are in heaven as well. Please help this church, Beacon Baptist Church, regardless of the consequences, regardless of what may or may not seem to be good or bad circumstances, help this church always to follow the commands and the wishes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll praise you for the fruit that comes because of it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.